I invite you to stand as you are able in honor of the reading of the gospel lesson. This night, the appointed text from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Let us be attentive now to the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. And let us pray. Holy and gracious God, would you still now our hearts, unstop our ears, prepare our souls, that we might hear with joy this word you seek to offer us this night. Come, Holy Spirit, come, we pray. Amen. Garrison Keillor, of Prairie Home Companion fame, once wrote for a Land's End Christmas catalog an article entitled, "What I'm Getting You for Christmas." And in it, he writes about the perils of Christmas gift getting. He tells the following story. "Christmas a few years back, someone I thought loved me and whom I dearly loved gave me a polo shirt for Christmas. I put it on and smiled nicely, but all I could think to myself was, burgundy? The only people I know that wear burgundy, smoke cigarillos, drive Buick LeSabres, sit in the dark corners of cocktail lounges, and wager large sums on basketball games. I'm more of a wheat person, being an English major," he says, "but did I say that to the person, the gift giver? No. I simply said thank you and promptly hung it in my closet in that space where I hang clothes I promise I will never wear. And I left it there for 3 months, long enough for the Christmas gift getting cooling off period to happen. And then," he says, "I promptly donated it to the nearby homeless shelter." He said, "I can probably imagine a scene whereby a volunteer is offering that shirt to a homeless person who then says, 'Actually, do you have something in pale blue or aqua? Burgundy's not really my color.' After all, just because you're homeless doesn't mean you look good in burgundy," he writes. He goes on in that article to talk about the perils of Christmas giving. And if you're like me, you might be having a moment now where you're a little anxious. You're sweating a little bit. Is the gift under the tree for my loved one, my children, my spouse? Is it what they are going to want? Will they like it? Will they love it? He says, we spend a lot of time talking and thinking about that. We don't often say much or ponder much about the perils of Christmas gift getting. What you do when someone gives you something you haven't asked for, something you don't want, but something they know you desperately need. Well, I can certainly relate with Garrison Keillor's experience. Somewhere around the age of 8 or 9 years old, the anticipation of Christmas was getting to me. I couldn't take it anymore. Day in and day out, going by the tree in the family room, I saw packages under the tree. They were growing in number by the day. I was asking that year for a skateboard and a Nintendo game system. That was before Nintendo existed. It was the first iteration. No PS, PX, 90, none of those things. No PlayStation or Xbox like my children. No, the original Nintendo. I was hoping desperately that's what I was going to get for Christmas. I watched the gifts pile up, and finally one late afternoon when I couldn't take it a second longer, my mother was in the kitchen preparing dinner. My father was not yet home from work. I snuck one of the packages into my room. With a letter opener and my Cub Scout pocket knife, I went down the rim of that Scotch tape, trying to peel it up and off so that I could unwrap it without tearing the paper. The idea being I could wrap it back, put it under the tree, and no one would ever notice what I had done. I see some nodding heads, like maybe you've had this experience as well. You've tried this. Here's how it played out for me. Warning, children, don't do this at home. The moment I got it peeled back and opened the lid of the box and saw what was inside, my mother knocked and barged into the room to announce simply that dinner was ready. But she had caught me red-handed. Oh, it gets worse. Not only had I been caught, but there was no Nintendo system in the box. Instead, it was blue, waffle weave, thermal insulated underwear. Just what every 8-year-old boy wants for Christmas. I was in double trouble. I'd been busted by my mom for opening a present I shouldn't have ahead of time, and I knew I wasn't getting what I wanted for Christmas. I was getting insulated underwear. But here's what my parents knew. About 4 or 5 weeks later, I had a Cub Scout camping trip planned. And of course, as fate would have it, as we got into that weekend and saw the forecast, it was snowy and icy and below freezing outside. And there I was in that little tent in my warm blue waffle weave thermal underwear, warm and toasty, while all of my little Cub Scout friends were freezing cold. And I had a moment. I hadn't maybe gotten what I wanted. I'd gotten exactly what I needed. In our text, in the run-up, if we were to survey the Old Testament and think about God's people and all that they have been through from the beginning, they have known hardship, exile, they have known famine. They've been sent away from their homeland and forced to weep by the rivers of Babylon. Life has not been kind to them. They have broken covenant with God time and time again. Their homeland's ruined to ashes, sent away into exile. And they have repeatedly cried out, "Oh God, would you save us? Send us a Savior, a Messiah, someone to deliver us." God hears their cries. And in the voices of the prophets, we hear God promise that God is going to send on those who sit in darkness a great light, that God is going to send a judge who will execute justice, that God will send one who will allow the wolf to lie down with the lamb. God is going to send one who will make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, that in the fullness of time, God will send a Savior. And then it happens. God hears their cries and God delivers. And as we hear in the gospel account of Luke on that first Christmas night, there in a manger, born into the world, exactly what the people of God were looking for, right? No. Based on what they'd heard from the prophets, they were looking for a mighty warrior king, someone who could go toe-to-toe with Emperor Augustus, Quirinius, a Roman who could take the Roman powers down, who could execute justice, who could go toe-to-toe and would restore them to everything they had wanted, everything they had ever seen, an earthly king they thought God would send. And instead, in the gospel account, we see they are given a vulnerable, innocent, helpless babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and in Mary's arms. We can only imagine the confusion, the disillusionment, the disappointment. What? A baby? We're getting what for Christmas? A baby? How can this baby take down Rome? How can this baby bring peace and reign on the throne of David? How can this baby fulfill the promises of God? Some never receive him. Some will, as he grows up, say, what good could ever come out of Nazareth? Other chief priests and scribes will work hard to be sure that he doesn't come to power. In fact, they will crush what they see as his insurrection, his rebellion, this Jesus. And ultimately, he will be put on the cross to die for it. But not everyone. Not everyone will reject this gift. I think about the woman at the well, whom Jesus forgives. I think about the paralytic, whom Jesus heals. I think about the multitude who show up and didn't pack a lunch, and Jesus miraculously feeds them. I think about Lazarus, who Jesus brings back from the dead. And ultimately, I think about those disciples who leave everything, occupation, reputation, family, and friends, to come and follow, to come and see. Maybe it's in that moment, finally, with the authorities pressing in on them, Jesus telling them what's coming next as he has that last meal, as he washes their feet in that act of servanthood and lifts up the bread and the cup, that maybe it's in that moment that they realize they haven't gotten what they were hoping for, looking for, expecting, but they'd gotten exactly what they needed. The New Testament bears this out as we look forward into Acts and beyond, into the letters of Paul. We see that these disciples will give their life and all. We see the church born, and we see them turn the world upside down. Maybe not what they had been hoping for and looking for, but exactly what they needed. Here we are some 20 centuries later, some 2,000 years removed. Here we are this night to ponder, as the music and the scripture and the liturgy have drawn us into this story, we've been reminded of the gift we are given in Christ. And maybe it's a strange way to save the world. Maybe it's an odd gift. Maybe it's not what we had expected or looking for, a baby in a manger when we wanted a king. And yet this night, friends, as we survey our world, we read the headlines, we think about the state of things, maybe this gift isn't what we'd been looking for, but it's precisely what we need. For you and I know that our world doesn't need more judges, it doesn't need more laws, we don't need more force. We know that this is a condition of the heart. It's a spiritual condition at the end of the day. And I've searched long and I've searched hard. And I've tried just about everything the world has to offer to fill the hole that is in the soul. And the only gift that will bring peace, that will bring fulfillment, is the gift of Christ our Lord. And this night, I invite you to receive him. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's for the 1,000th time. But this night, would you prepare him room, receiving the gift of the one born into the world to reconcile you to God, that you might have life and life everlasting. It's not a Nintendo. It's not a skateboard. It's not blue waffle weave thermal insulated underwear. But we all know those things rust and decay. They go into our closets. The one gift, the unexpectedly perfect gift, the gift that brings fullness to life and life abundant, Christ our Lord. I pray for you and for me that perhaps in the silence of this night, just like once long ago I slept under the stars in a cold night, recognizing as I was wrapped in that blue insulated underwear that I hadn't gotten what I wanted, but I'd gotten exactly what I needed. My Christmas prayer, my Christmas hope, there'll come a moment tonight, tomorrow, at some point, when you will recognize that God has indeed given us exactly what we needed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.